How much alcohol is a safe amount to consume? Do you drink yourself? Are you planning to have a couple this bank holiday weekend? Is there indeed a safe amount? Well, a new global study confirms that drinking any amount of booze is detrimental to your health. Dr. George O'Neill is with us, and the commentator and former pub landlady Tina Calder. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
I think for years we've had a variety of messages, Dr. O'Neill, when it comes to alcohol. You know, a glass of wine a day might help your heart, but this is saying there's no two ways about it. Basically, any alcohol is bad for you.
Well, what this this is a very robust piece of work. You're talking about 700 studies, 195 countries over 26 years. So it's pretty powerful, and it makes the point quite clearly that there's risk to taking alcohol. But there is
we're losing your line there, Dr. O'Neill. We'll just try and sort that out, and we'll come back to you in a moment. Sorry about that. Tina Calder, you heard hopefully part of what he said there. 195 countries comparing people who do not drink at all and those that have one or more drinks a day. The results find that there is no safe level of alcohol consumption. No safe level. There's no two ways about this, Tina.
I think when we look at things like this and we consider that our body is a machine and we have to keep that well-oiled machine as healthy as possible, yes, I can see what they're saying and where they're coming from. But the reality is that life is an awful lot more than just keeping your main machine in the best condition possible.
But listen to what you've just said. You're referring to your main machine as your body. It's a fair enough if you want to describe it that way. I don't do that myself. But, surely if you're not looking after your body yourself, then what's the point in a lot of other things? I get if you're not well, sometimes illnesses and diseases or accidents, a lot of them you have no control over at all. But if you're putting something into your body and we're being told this is a type of poison, this is not good for you, any amount is above a safe level, how can you put that as a, yeah, but?
Everything in life has some form of a risk. Crossing the road, for example, has a risk. Eating food that has GM in it is a risk. Our water having too much fluoride in it is a risk. I could go on and on and on and on about all of the things in life that is a risk to our health and our body.
Yeah, but crossing the road and, is one thing, or getting into your car is one thing.
What about the pollution in our air, growing pollution.
But unless you're pumping out that pollution yourself, that's not your fault.
The point being is, no, we put ourselves in that position because we weigh it up. We decide, is this worth what it's going to do to my health? And it's the same with alcohol. And I think we also have to understand that for an awful lot of people, alcohol is ingrained in their social life. It's ingrained in part of who they are and what they do. I'm not saying everybody should go out and get blocked tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying. But I think at the end of the day, unless you're going to live on a desert island with the most pure food that you can ever live and drink the purest water and breathe this purest air, and you're always going to have something in life that's going to negatively affect you. But we can offset that. We can offset by doing more healthier, being healthier in terms of exercise or in the other foods that we eat.
Let me bring in Dr. O'Neill again. Hopefully the line is a bit better. There's obviously the social aspect of drinking, George, and, I don't think anyone is advocating drinking alone, but if you have someone that maybe goes out and meets up with people once a week, the mental health benefits from that interaction. We're very social beings. We want to, meet and to discuss and whatever with other people and avoid, for most of us, isolation.
The importance of this report, and this is not suggesting total abstinence. What it does is it lets people know the risks involved in drinking alcohol, and there are significant risks. 10% of the deaths of the 15 to 50-year-olds is directly attributable to alcohol. So there are risks. So moderate drinking, the risks are there, but they're very, very small. And provided you stick to the recommended 14 units a week, the risk of you developing one of the 23 or 30 different diseases associated with overuse of alcohol is very, very small.
Do you see there being any benefits of alcohol?
I think there are some as a social lubricant. And some people need it. And I'm not suggesting that people should abstain totally. And this report isn't suggesting that either. What it's doing is putting on the table that there are risks involved and the risks increase with the amount of consumption.
Do you drink yourself, George?
No, I don't.
And is that because you think, well, look, this, I'm a doctor and I know what I'm talking about?
No, I just decided I don't need a social lubricant to carry on. And I'm not against it. I mean, I'm not against alcohol and such. I just choose, I don't smoke and I don't drink.
You see, Tina, I think there's I don't think just here in Northern Ireland, but I do believe that some of us think to socialise, to interact, to go out and have a good time, you have to drink. And I think that's where people come into problems sometimes. They feel like, unlike George, they can't do it without it.
Absolutely, and I think that we have to understand some of the more complex reasons as to why somebody might have a drink in a social setting, whether they've got social anxiety, whether they have depression and feel that they want a bit of a lift because it's taken all of their energy to just get them out of the house. There's many, many reasons why people would take a drink. Some people just love to dance but want to get rid of those inhibitions. There's many, many reasons, and I'm just really concerned that if we start pumping out this message that nobody should ever drink, then we'll start vilifying people who do and people who are having very sensible drinking habits. I used to drink quite a bit because I was in the showbiz industry and, you know, I was parties all the time and all that kind of thing. I owned a bar for a while, and funny enough, when I finished with the bar, I actually just stopped drinking, and it was like having a chocolate factory.
So you don't drink?
I very rarely drink. So I would drink maybe once a month, once every 2 months.
Okay.
And for me, it is about the social aspect. It's all about going out with my friends and enjoying myself. And it is about losing those inhibitions a bit. I'm a workaholic. You know, I'm the oldest of 7 kids. I'm, you know, one of those really sensible people. So for me, it's just about, you know, letting go for a little bit.
Okay. Let me ask you something, a different element of this, Tina. And I want to first of all say, when it comes to people that have a problem with alcoholism, you know, we're not relating to that at this point because that is a disease and that is something that people need
Absolutely.
Help with. But aside from that, what about people that they pay their taxes and that goes towards the NHS, and off that a huge chunk goes towards treating people that have had health issues because of their alcohol use? Maybe they've got drunk at the weekend and they've fallen and hurt themselves or something similar. Is that fair to expect people to pay for that do realise alcohol is bad for you?
I'm so glad you asked this, Finny, because the way I look at it is the NHS itself is doing a hell of a lot of damage to people, prescribing dangerous medication that is masking symptoms rather than getting.
Well, I think that's a different issue, though. I want to be careful, though, Tina, just because.
The point that I'm making is, we can't analyse every last pick in detail. I do acknowledge the fact that if I damage my body, I'm taking money out of the NHS. But I also acknowledge the fact that I do have chronic pain issues and chronic illnesses that are not being properly diagnosed and sorted out.
Okay.
And I'm fighting and fighting and fighting.
Well, George, what are your thoughts on that? You work within the NHS.
The admission rate due to alcohol in Northern Ireland is about 12,000 people a year. That excludes the people who end up in the emergency department. The difficulty with alcohol is in excess, it's a disinhibitor, and people get involved in risky procedures. They do risky things. They behave inappropriately, and there's a lot of violence associated with the abuse of alcohol. But this report, getting back to the report, it makes the point that if you drink within the recommended limits, you will have very, very little risk involved.
And that's the key part there, because many of us find moderation
absolutely
difficult. But is it easier to an extent to actually go teetotal and not to drink? Because when you moderate, especially if you're drinking at home or at a party and you're pouring your own measures or there's no one there to say you've had enough, you know, it's difficult to know where that line is once you've had a few.
And I think also, I mean, and if people are worried about it, I use a thing called CAGE. Have you been concerned about your drinking? Have you been annoyed about somebody pointing out your drinking? Do you feel guilty about your drinking? And do you need an eye-opener in the morning? You check any of those boxes, you should go and have help, because there is a drink problem there. But getting back to the report, it points out, in moderation, alcohol, the risks are very small. But in excess, the risks are enormous.
Yeah. So let's say moderation is one drink a day, but are there many
units a week.
Yeah, but a lot of people will have them in one go and not spread out over the week, which obviously is not the same as moderation.
No, and but provided people know the risk they're involved, and so this is informing the population as to what the risks are, and you end up, there are at least 23 different diseases that you can end up with as a consequence of alcohol abuse.
Does that message really get through? You know, people still drink, they still drink to excess. And again, I'm not talking about people that have an alcohol problem. People smoke, they know the issue with that. They speed, they know the issue with that. You know, what is it with us?
Well, I think it's down to education. I think we've got to get, I mean, we can do more in our schools, teaching our young people how to use alcohol, and we've got to have a discussion about it, and it's a cultural, societal thing. And we, and Tina made the point there, everything we do, alcohol is associated, births, marriages, weddings, celebrations, alcohol is at the back of it all. You can buy it in your supermarket, it's part of the groceries that we pick up every week. So there's a culture and a societal issue to this. But the report, getting back to it, moderate drinking with a small risk if you continue to drink within the recommended limits.
Okay. Dr. George O'Neill and Tina Calder, thank you very much.